I can ignore it.
Hi, my name is Maria. I'm an alcoholic. I'm not sad at being here. I just yawn excessively when I'm nervous. Just bear with me for a bit. Leave my church. Okay. Very quickly, what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. Drunk logs are not my forte. First of all, you'd all be asleep in about 5 minutes, because basically what I did was got home from work at 6, poured myself a glass of wine, kept pouring till 11 o'clock, went to bed, got up the next morning, went to work, came home at 6 o'clock, poured myself a glass of wine. You get the picture? 20 years of that. The 10 years before, I was a binge drinker. If it was there, I drank it. If it wasn't there, I didn't think of it. God was on my side because I never hurt anybody drunk. Drove all the way back from Bedford in the townships in a snowstorm on back roads I did not know, so drunk that one eye wouldn't open. I didn't hit anybody. So, thank you, God. And that's the drunkalog. That's it. It's done. My last experience with alcohol, I went through a very odd period. I'd been having blackouts, not really associating them with anything and not attention to them, obviously. And then all of a sudden, I started noticing that when I would get up in the morning, things were not where they were supposed to be. And I'm an old maid, so I know exactly, absolutely everything in my house is supposed to be. And things were just moved over a little bit, and it was driving me crazy. And I spent about a week trying to figure out who the hell it was sneaking into my house in the middle of the night, moving things around, just to drive me crazy. And I had actually had a list of names of people who had keys or could get keys or could make keys. Or insane. Totally insane. I was also at the same time trying to talk myself out of a third anorexic episode in my life. I was trying to talk myself out of not stopping eating, all on the same weekend. And then one night, a Saturday night, I went to bed, and I very, very carefully turned off the light and turned on the radio and went upstairs. And the next morning when I came downstairs, the light was on and the radio was off. And I realized that it was me. Nobody else was sneaking into the house. At the time, I thought I was sleepwalking. But that scared me enough, because I had known for years, I had used that word alcoholic when talking about myself for years. About to myself, not anyone else, mind you. So I knew right away. I made the connection. Nobody's breaking into my house in the middle of the night. It's me. I'm going to bed drunk, waking up in the middle of the night in what I subsequently learned was a blackout, putzing around the house, and then going back upstairs to bed. So I called the helpline, and they gave me a meeting to attend, and it was a few days later. And I called a mentor, a member of my family who has been in AA for a couple of years, and she said, well, why wait till then? Go tomorrow. And I went, okay, because I was drinking, right? During the phone call. Let's be serious. I hadn't been to a meeting yet. Right? Calling her, bragging about how I was going to go to AA, and I was pissed off the time I was telling her. So I did go to a meeting. I went to Southside Discussion, which at the time was a Joe and Charlie Tate discussion. And I sat down at this big table with a bunch of strange people. And by strange, I don't mean because I didn't know them. I mean they were strange people. 5 minutes into the meeting, I was sitting there going, these people are insane. I mean, I may have a drinking problem, but they're insane. They were at the point in the tapes where they're discussing God and relationship with God and so on. And I never attend a discussion group, a big book study group, as a first meeting for anyone, because I went through it. And let me tell you, you walk in the day that they're going, well, I am God because God loves me. You go, oh, I'm out of here so fast, right? So I left that meeting. I stuck it out. It's an hour and a half meeting. And I stuck out, pat myself on the back here. And at the end of the meeting, they do the 12 steps at the end of the meeting. And someone around said, you know, what are you normally from? And I said, this is my first meeting. And they gave me the chip, and someone had offered me their phone number, scared the hell out of me. I went, no, it's okay. I've got my own resources. It's fine. Thank you very much. And left the meeting. And on my way home, I was telling myself, I am so going to have a glass of wine when I get home. I am so going to have that glass of wine. Wasn't admitting yet that it was going to be a whole bottle, right? Okay, so earned it. Those people are loons. And I'm driving home because I'm absolutely sober at 9:30 at night. This is like, no, okay, this is no. This is not a good thing. I get home, and I go into the fridge, and I grab the bottle of wine, and I pop the cork out, and I walk over to the sink, and I pour it down the drain. And that was it. That was 2 years and 7 months ago, and I haven't looked back. I have no idea why it worked. I have no idea how it worked. When I'm asked to read the 12 questions, and most of the meetings I go to, I'm so sure we read the 12 questions, I always change the first one. Some people don't like it, but I don't care. I always say, the question is, have you ever tried to stop drinking for a week and only lasted a few days? And my version is, have you ever tried to stop for an evening and only lasted 15 minutes? Because that was my experience. How many times did I try to get through one lousy evening without a drink and simply couldn't do it? I walk into this room full of total loons. And I go home and I pour the bottle down the drain. That's it. And a year later, they became one of my home group, by the way. Okay, so I know where I fit. I'm a loon. But that's okay. I haven't looked back since. As I said, I've met a lot of wonderful people. I've learned a great deal about myself. I always thought of myself as an intellectual, as introspective, self-analytical, bullshit. I was probably one of the best liars you'll ever meet. And the person I lied to the most was me. And that's something that, although I still try to do it, I can't get away with it anymore. Not just my sponsor, but just my friends, my family members in AA family just won't let me get away with it. I have to tell this little story, and bear with me. It involves smoking, but I'm only going to say it because it taught me an AA lesson. I quit smoking in July of last year, and I went for 10 months, 10 and a half months without smoking. And then one day I just walked out and bought a pack of cigarettes. I smoked for 9 days. And then I went back on the patch 2 months ago. And I bought a pack of cigarettes on Friday. I'm smoking now. What did that teach me? How does that relate to AA? For 2 years and 7 months, I've heard people tell me the first time's a gift. And intellectually, I understood that. Emotionally, I had no idea what they were talking about. Now I know. I have learned that the first time is a gift. I'm what is commonly called a high-bottom drunk. My sponsor tells me, Anne-Marie, you probably have another bottom in you. And after the cigarette slip, how easy it was. Now I'm scared because now I understand what is meant by the first time's a gift. Don't throw it away. Now I'm very careful. Instead of saying, oh, that first drink, I'm not going to take the first drink. Instead of having that cocky, arrogant thought back here. There's a fear thought right here. It was just so easy. It was just so easy. And I know that it would be just as easy to pick up another drink. I need that fear. I need that fear in my life. I've been given hope by AA through AA. I've been given love. I've been given standing. I've been given courage. I always thought of myself as a rank coward, worst coward, and I've been given courage I didn't know I had. But I must never, ever become complacent, and that's what I was becoming. You know, getting close to that third year anniversary, and you're going, it's a breeze, I can do this. Two or four meetings a week, I'll knock it back to two, that's all I need. Well, that's not going to happen, is it? Because God reached out, and I say God, not higher power. God reached out and straight across the face again. That's how easy it is, stupid. Stop. Be serious. I generally try to have a little more humor in my share, but you never know what you're going to say, right? And this is what's coming out tonight. I hope I'm not putting anyone too far down, but anyway. I'm holding on right now to... Tomorrow I'm going to do something that I should have done many years ago, that I pretended to do after 1 year in the program. I'm going to follow the instructions in the big book and seek outside help, medical help, for a specific problem. And talking to my sponsor today, because I've been yammering about smoking for a little while, and she said, I can pinpoint the exact moment that you started yammering about smoking. And I said, when? She said, when you made that appointment with the psychologist. Now, in my normal outside-the-rooms life, no one would have had the guts to tell me that. No one would have noticed. No one would have cared. And in my normal outside-the-rooms life, I never would have had the guts to make the appointment. It's just such a journey that I've been on, and I'm realizing that I've been, and I was so proud of myself, you know. I mean, God, I drank like fish for 20 years on a daily basis, and 2 years, 7 months, not at all. So proud of myself. So good. Mm-hmm. And then pulls the rug laid out from under me. Thank God it wasn't with alcohol. You know, better I should light a cigarette than take a drink. Absolutely, any day. But it forced me to completely reset my counter. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm back down to zero. I've got to do this differently. I've got to extend myself. I've got to work at it. Okay? I've got to work at it. I'm a very lazy person. Work at it. That's what it is. But I can do it because of AA. I know that whatever effort I put into this, I'll get something back. Temple. I know I will. If nothing else, I'll meet a lot of very interesting, very good people. But I will get my life back. I'm a good coaster, you know. I do just enough to get by. And after almost 3 years in the program, that's no longer enough. I thought a few months ago that I had reached the point where just being sober was not enough anymore. You know, because at first it is enough, isn't it? I mean, you're just so happy that you've actually got your time back and your life back, and you can do things. You can go out of the house after 6 o'clock at night and not worry about tripping down the stairs. And, you know, you're just happy with that. That's fine. It's cool. You're ready to settle. But 2.5+ years on the road, you start going, well, there's got to be more to it than that. You know, you look around at the people who are glowingly happy in these rooms, and you go, I want that. Sober's not enough anymore. I want that. How do I get that? Oh, shit, I got to work for it. Okay. But that's what you got to do. That's what I've got to do. And I'm scared. I'm really scared. You know? It's one thing to give up the booze. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a compulsive, obsessive person. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it to excess, regardless of what it is, including not drink. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go to the extreme. But now it's like more discussion meetings and pay more attention to what's being said and open up a bit more and stop hiding. And, you know, they were playing with the light before I came up here, and I thought, can I put light on this thing? Because that's a trigger for me. And I was raised by a salesman. I mean, my dad was a salesman. He's like, da-da-da-da-da, you know, and I'm so trying to pull away from that, because that is a mask. That is a facade behind what I hid for 4 years plus. You know, and now I've got to get down to work. And if I don't get rid of that mask, I'm wasting my time. And worse, I'm wasting the time of the other people in the room who, for their part, are being honest with me. So it's time to roll up the sleeves and get to work. And sometimes I actually find it easier to dump or vent or whatever word you want to call it, you know, when I'm speaking to a group, which is really nasty, you know. I'm here for me, folks. Sorry. I was told at the beginning this is a selfish program, and I said, oh, me, I can do that. No problem. All right? And tonight's proof, you know. I'm here for me. If I help someone else, fine, but if I don't, I've helped me tonight, and that's why I'm here. So that said, I'm not a long speaker, as you're about to find out. I say what I have to say. I dump what I have to dump, and all I can add right now is the immense gratitude that I feel towards the program and the people in the program. I always say that there is no program without the people. The book is nothing if nobody reads it. Right? You publish a book and nobody reads it, you just killed a tree for nothing. Yeah. So it's all of you people. The ones that I see in my weekly meetings, the ones I see once in a while when I'm out at a different meeting, as with tonight, friend. And tonight, it's you folks who don't give me any choice but to be honest, because you just won't take the shit I used to shovel, and who are there to help me, to reach out and help me. And I can't tell you how grateful I am for that, and how much I actually look forward to the rest of my life, whereas before I just didn't give a shit one way or the other. That's all thanks to AA and to you. And that's it. Otherwise I'll dab. Okay. Short and sweet, but thank you very much, and have a very good 24 hours.